Drew, welcome into the program right here in Tuscaloosa. I hope you're doing well, man.
Doing well, Ryan. Always like to be on the game. Glad to be back with you tonight.
No doubt. And I'll just sort of, what'd you hear in Nick Saban when he was talking about Lane Kiffin there?
Well, you know, he obviously, you know, wasn't going to hedge his bets. As with the coaching carousel, Ryan, as you know, it's unpredictable. You can never predict the future for sure. You know, it looks like from what we're hearing that Lane Kiffin wants to stay in Tuscaloosa, has enjoyed his year under Nick Saban. But it is about the money at times, and it is about being rewarded. And you know, Lane Kiffin was as good as any, I think, assistant coach in college football this year. I know he's taking some criticism for the play calling and the Sugar Bowl loss, but again, they scored 35 points. And, he did his job this season. It was the most explosive offense of the Saban era, and you know, we believe at Intel. This is about Lane Kiffin wanting to, you know, get a raise, because as you've seen, Brian Schottenheimer is now the new offensive coordinator at the University of Georgia. You know, he's making close to $1 million a year. Right now, the salary for Lane Kiffin is $680,000 for the first two seasons of a 3-year deal. He's signed $714,000 for the third year. We believe he will be bumped up very soon to $1 million a year or thereabouts and stay at Alabama for 2015. But again, you never know. Especially with the NFL involved. But yeah, I don't think it would be a good career move for Lane Kiffin to go to the 49ers, per se, because it's an organization that's a lot of uncertainty. You know, a rookie head coach that's been not even been a coordinator on the NFL level, with their defensive line coach being named as a head coach last week. And I just really think for, you know, the professional career of Lane Kiffin, it would be better for him to stay in Tuscaloosa. But again, we will see what happens. But this all reeks to me of an opportunity to give Lane Kiffin a raise in the near future.
Let me ask you this, and talking about recruiting, when you talk to recruits, Lane Kiffin is working the road, right? I mean, he's out on the road recruiting, being able to sell the University of Alabama. That's confirmed, right?
Yes, correct. He's been out recruiting since the end of the Sugar Bowl, since the end of the dead period. Before last weekend, when they had their first major recruiting weekend, he's been on the road in Florida today. He met with Ryan Davis, who I believe is their top target at slot receiver, who is slated to officially visit Alabama this coming weekend. Lane Kiffin has been heavily involved with him. So he's been recruiting actively, and I think that will continue. Obviously, this report that Adam Schefter had Sunday has kind of changed things a little bit and changed the dynamic. But so far, Lane Kiffin is doing what I think he's one of his gifts as a coach. He's one guy that can X's and O's, but he can also recruit. You know, and there are few and far between at times, but I think he's as depth a recruiter as he is a coach, and that's saying something.
Right now, we're talking with Drew DeArmond, AlabamaIntel.com. He's inside the game right here in Tuscaloosa on Tide 99.1. As we move forward, I want to go back to continue this conversation, but I put a question out there earlier tonight. It's a Twitter question tonight at the game WDGM, and I asked, would this team have won an SEC title? Would they have finished 12-2 without Lane Kiffin? I'll let you pick up on that. Do you think they would?
No, I don't think so at all. I think Lane Kiffin had a lot to do with changing the dynamics of Alabama's offense, of getting the most out of someone like Amari Cooper with his play design and his schemes, also of his one-on-one work with Blake Sims, giving him the confidence to come out and play at a very high level, a level that no one foresaw, you know, in the preseason. Obviously, I think it was a fair quarterback competition. Jake Coker was the favorite of many, including myself, going into the season, but, you know, Blake Sims outworked him and earned the job, and I just don't believe that Alabama is going to be SEC champions and in the Final Four without the contributions this season of Lane Kiffin, who I felt like, you know, could have easily won the Broyles Award over Tom Herman, but obviously Herman and those guys won the national championship. But Lane Kiffin, you know, he earned everything he got this season, and he surpassed everybody's expectations, I believe, of the Bama Nation. And I just really believe he was the catalyst for this season for Alabama.
As we move back to that conversation here for a couple of minutes, we're talking with Drew DeArmond, AlabamaIntel.com. When you look at Lane Kiffin, if he's not here, and you never know. I mean, as you said, this coaching carousel, people slipping in the back door, offering big-time money because it's such a big-time business in football, whether we're talking about the NFL, whether we're talking about college football. If Lane Kiffin is not here, how hard will 2015 really be?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, it would depend on his replacement, but I think it would make it much tougher. He'd be teaching a new scheme in the spring. It is Nick Saban's offense per se, but this season, one of the big changes was he actually allowed Lane Kiffin to install his system, so you would be starting from square one. A lot of the players also, and this is one part of it that I think is very important, like Lane Kiffin quite a bit, enjoy playing for him, enjoy learning under him, and they have gotten used to his, his style of coaching, and then you have to get used to a new guy. Plus, he's done a lot of good recruiting for this class, along with Blake Barnett, the number one quarterback in the country. And really, to be honest, Ryan, when you look at the what should be the number one recruiting class in America come February 4th, I think Alabama on paper with Calvin Ridley and Daylon Charlotte, who Intel believes will join the class on signing day, and whoever they sign in the slot, along with a great offensive line class and the number one running back in America and Damian Harris, it looks like Alabama, will sign the top offensive class overall in the country, in my opinion. And Lane Kiffin played a big part in that. And a lot of these kids are signing with Alabama. You always tell people not to choose a university based upon the assistant coaches, even the head coach, but everybody knows that's part of it. And he's played an integral role in what's going to be a great recruiting class. And you really wouldn't want to start over from square one, especially considering the success he had this past season. Most want to see what he could do with somebody like a Jake Coker. Could he improve as much as Blake Sims did? You never know.
As we go back to the conversation, 205-342-9904, let me go back to the conversation, Drew DeArmond right now, Alabama Intel.com. I want to go back to recruiting for a couple of minutes. Drew, what was the recruiting like this weekend? What was sort of give us an update on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a good weekend for Alabama. Did not pick up any, public commitments, but we feel very strongly that, Dale and Charlotte at this period of time, from Patterson, Louisiana, the Under Armour All-American, he has been committed to Alabama for a long time, this past February, at their first Junior Day event. But he decommitted around mid-December, and he's officially visited LSU. At that time, most thought he would end up in Bayou land. But after, a very productive week at the Under Armour game, a 54-yard punt return TD, he spent a lot of time around the Alabama commitment. He and his family were giving off positive vibes toward the time. He never publicly committed to LSU as many thought he would at that game. He officially visited Alabama this past weekend. His coach, Kerry Blanchard, really thinks that Alabama's in a good spot. He wouldn't come out and say, that Daylon, is leaning to Alabama, but you read between the lines, you feel very good about it. He's going to wait until National Signing Day, I think, to ease some of the state pressure, in-state pressure, much like Kenny Bell did a few seasons ago, and signed with Alabama. And he's a very productive kid. He'd be a nice compliment to Calvin Ridley. And then, one surprise out of the weekend was that it seems as though Alabama told Isaiah France, who had been near the top of their board at offensive tackle, that they did not have, for sure, a scholarship available for him. Makes you wonder, because they're trying to add another offensive tackle, if they have decided to take and push for Tahiti Okeke-Valentine from Georgia, who already visited Alabama in mid-December. And then, obviously, you look at other uncommitted guys like Tyron Wheatley Jr., who came in and seemed to have a very good visit. His second trip to Tuscaloosa, his first official visit, of course, and where he got to see the campus as a whole and meet a lot of the players. And he seemed to really enjoy that. His father is recently of the same name, Tyron Wheatley Sr., been named to the staff at the University of Michigan, so a lot of people thought maybe that he would end up there. But as of now, he doesn't have an official visit set for Michigan, so it's going to be interesting to see now that he still has trips left at UCLA and Oregon, where that would stand, because he could be an inline tight end that Alabama's been recruiting, so we will see there. But it was a very good weekend for Alabama. They had some kids come in, like Daron Payne, who I think they solidified, and Christian Bell from Duper High School. But we will see what happens with Alabama at this point forward, because Watts left County Bill, and Shar Watts found a commitment behind. So they're going to have to be selected from this point forward.
Is any of the recruits that are currently committed going other places, especially some of the high-profile guys, in the coming weeks?
Well, yeah. You know, Rico McGraw visited this weekend. He's been a commitment since late July. He moved from Georgia. Now, you know, the scuttlebutt seems to be he will trip to Georgia this weekend. Some thought, you know, Georgia may still have a shot to flip him back to the Dawgs. We will see. He's a guy that Nick Saban and the staff really likes. He was the defensive player of the year in the state of Tennessee, and is an excellent defensive back. And as you know, Alabama has a need in that area. I mean, obviously, you know, there's been some thought that Nick Fitzpatrick from New Jersey could take some another official visit to another another school, but he has not as of yet. Montrell Custis from Lovejoy, Georgia, he's slated to visit Alabama officially this weekend, but he took a trip last weekend to the University of Kentucky and may take a trip to Florida on January the 30th, so he will have to be watched. So there will be a lot of babysitting going on for Alabama. That, you know, we'll see what happens there, but there are going to be a few kids taking visits. But I think Alabama still overall feels pretty good. They're really good about the status of the class, and it's just trying to, finish strong.
I want to go back, and Drew, let me just make you part of the conversation of what we're talking about here. And we had an Alabama fan that called a couple of maybe an hour ago, and we were talking about it. He said, you know, a lot of Alabama fans are sort of hitting that panic button. The sky is falling. This program, you know, for 2 years, they've not won a national title. And I go back, I'm taking up for the fans here, and if you want to debate the other side, we can do that as well. You look at Nick Saban and what he's brought to the table. He's won on the defensive side of the football. I think you would agree that, right? I mean, without the defensive side of the football, we wouldn't be talking about how many national titles Nick Saban's won in Tuscaloosa. Fair comment?
Oh, yeah, that's correct. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
All right, so when we look at that, I think one of the reasons why you're having people that are sort of hitting that panic button, Alabama fans, then one of the reasons is the defense struggled. And it's not just, you know, 1 year, but it's a couple of years where you can see this trend that's going down. And I think that's where Alabama fans are saying, not hitting the panic button, or, you know, he described it as the sky is falling. Is that fair to look at it and say, okay, but Nick Saban's going to have to self-evaluate. He's going to have to get better on the defensive side of the football. He's going to have to stop running style quarterbacks. He's going to have to stop the hurry-up offense or continue to improve upon that, because that's the direction of college football. And if he still has questions about that, you don't know where 2015 is going to go. We talked about it earlier about Lane Kiffin. I believe that the defensive side of the football is going to have to carry this team in 2015 until they get some rhythm and to be able to, you know, prove the consistency play. There may be all superstars over there. But until they sort of get their feet under them, I believe the defensive side of the ball is going to carry this team. And I think that's one of the reasons why you're seeing some Alabama fans sort of talk about the sky is falling. The pressure is on the defensive side of the ball. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's nine starters going on offense, counting the guys, you know, leaving early like Amari Cooper. I mean, there's no doubt about that. A lot of TJ Yeldon, a lot of production guard. I think a lot of good young talent, but again, it's in some cases unproven. You know, defensively, the front seven will be very good returning now that Jaren Reed and Reggie Ragland are still officially going to be part of the program in 2015, which I think were two of the biggest recruiting gets for Alabama and Nick Saban thus far. Obviously, Cyrus Jones is the only major contributor back that played well in the secondary in 2014, so it will have to be rebuilt. But, you know, I know that a lot of Alabama fans are very concerned about that, but with Nick Saban's track record and a lot of the recruiting in the last two classes, there will be some excellent young players. It's just going to be up to Nick Saban and Kirby Smart to bring those guys along. But also, what should excite Alabama fans is the new blood, because we believe strongly after this weekend, from the comments from Joshua McMillan, another official visitor who is a committed to Alabama. He talked to Kirby Smart, and Kirby Smart indicated he was going to be his position coach next year. So as we reported at Intel, it looks as though Kirby Smart is going to move back to inside linebacker and take Kevin Steele's spot. And so they will have to bring in a new secondary coach who we believe could be DeShay Townsend, the former Alabama defensive back from the mid-90s, 94 to 97, who was a four-year starter and played 14 years in the NFL and two Super Bowls with the Steelers, or Derek Ainsley, who worked for Nick Saban and who is now the secondary coach at Kentucky, on some national championship squads in the past. So we think one of those two gentlemen will very easily come in and coach the safeties and bring some new blood and ideas. And it should excite Alabama fans because Nick Saban, since he's already, since Kevin Steele and Lance Thompson have already moved on, that means that Nick Saban is self-scouting and realizes new blood needs to be brought in defensively. I think, you know, it was an excellent opportunity for Kevin Steele to get a promotion, but I don't think, you know, they're crying in their beer, so to speak, that he's gone. And then Lance Thompson, as you know, was reported by multiple by Alabama Intel and multiple reports, was told that he was not going to be retained at Alabama. So again, we believe Tosh McCoy will move up into his spot at outside linebacker. He's a very good teacher, very good recruiter. I think would be a huge upgrade over Lance Thompson. And he was. We also got excellent intel this weekend that he was telling the official visitor I mentioned earlier, Christian Bell of Hoover High School, how he could teach him the techniques and make him better as a player at outside linebacker. So I think Alabama fans need to be very excited because I think on the defensive side of the ball, Ryan, in 2015, I think the coaching staff will be stronger. It's just going to be a huge spring for Alabama to see how much progress they can make because I 100% agree with you. Offensively, you know, it's going to be a puzzle that Lane Kiffin's going to have to figure out as time goes on. But I think defensively, without a doubt, and with J.K. Scott and a healthier Adam Griffith coming back, so defense and special teams are going to be counted on at the forefront in 2015.
Drew, do you think it's fair, and I made this comment, and maybe I sort of stuck my foot in my mouth, and I didn't really mean to, but do you think it's fair to say that, and I'm not trying to lean into this conversation. If you want to dodge it, we can dodge it. We can go to another conversation. Is it fair to say that when you look at this defensive coaching staff from 2014 that were here, that was here in Tuscaloosa, they were not on the same page?
Well, you know, you could say that. I mean, I think that if I, instead of phrasing it not on the same page, I would say that the thing that struck me was, A, I think the recruiting from 2 to 3 years before had not been what it needed to be, and B, and the biggest thing, I think that's the main reason you've seen the changes, is I don't think the coaching and or player development was up to standard, especially with Lance Thompson moving on. You have to be the eye test, Ryan, and I watched it for 3 years after Coach Southland Terry left, go to first Tennessee, and now he's the defensive ends coach at Florida State. The production from the outside linebackers has just not been there. I mean, the consistency has not been there, and I think, you know, a lot of that had to do with Lance Thompson's coaching ability. And I think, because as soon as you saw Southland Terry come in 2009, you saw a guy like Eric Anders become the best pass rusher. He wasn't considered. He was a young man that was going to walk on at Ole Miss before Mike Shula offered him a scholarship. Yet Southland Terry made him into a very good pass rusher. We all saw the impact, in the development of Courtney Upshaw, who became a BCS MVP. So, I mean, I just felt like that the outside linebackers and their development just were not there. I just felt like the consistency wasn't there. I think guys like Adrian Hubbard went backwards. He did not have a very good senior year in 2013. And I just think overall, Duvall, who has not developed, he was considered a blue chip recruit, has not done that much. And then, you know, and Tim Williams and Rashawn Evans, everybody wanted to see more of them this year. So I just think, really, honestly, it's been a player development issue, but somewhat a talent one as well. And again, sometimes new blood can help, you know, in player evaluation and recruiting. So we'll see about that as well. But I do think that there needed to be some new blood on the defensive staff. And I think the Alabama fans, instead of hitting the panic button, I think they should be optimistic and excited because Nick Saban is making changes on the staff, which he has every season at Alabama. It's nothing new.
Drew, as always, man, we'll encourage people to go to alabamaintel.com for the latest news on the Crimson Tide. Thanks so much for being a part of our show, and I hope you have a great evening, man.
No, thank you, Ron. I always enjoy being on the game. And, again, we want everybody to check out Alabama Intel. $50 a year, 14 cents a day for what we feel like is the best Crimson Tide inside information and recruiting coverage on the Internet. We thank you for having us on.